Welcome to Real Estate Radio Live, an informative and engaging podcast discussing everything you need to know about the world of real estate. Your host, Joe Cacera, provides you with insight and guidance on how to buy, sell, finance, and invest in real estate. He also offers real estate tax management strategies, new construction advice, home improvement tips, and much, much more. And now, to guide you around the world of real estate, here's your host and Real Estate Radio Live team leader, Joe Cacera.
Welcome in, Joe Cacera with Real Estate Radio Live. Thank you for those that are watching us live on Facebook. We appreciate that very much. We continue to provide you, I hope anyway, me and the team here with more education information. Our focus has been the same since day one. I try to remind everybody on a regular basis because we really do strive to provide you, the consumer, with the most quality information and education as we can. We never want to be a podcast or a show that sits here and cites and recites statistics and data and information and numbers, even though there's nothing wrong with that, to provide that and add that to some of the dialogue and some of the things we talk about. But we want to really work hard at delivering information and value-added stuff to you so that you could, when you go out and you're buying and selling and financing and building and anything to do with real estate, you could use a lot of this material to really have better conversations with the people you do business with, whether it's a real estate agent, a lender, a contractor, a landscaper. It really doesn't matter. The idea is that you get enough information so that you're comfortable seeking out help or getting information or really making more wise decisions in and around your real estate. And that's what we'll focus, continue to do. All right, for more information, we'd love to have you download the podcast. If you're watching this on Facebook or one of the social media sites or anything at all, be sure to download the podcast. We would love to have you follow us. Tell us what you think. You could go to iTunes and just type in Real Estate Radio Live. You go to Google Plus, Stitcher, all those places. Anywhere, and just type in Real Estate Radio Live. You'll be able to see the podcast and download and hopefully follow us and continue to do so and share it with others as well. All right, topic today is rates drop and buyers and sellers are on the move. So I'm going to cover a couple different things. If you've been following the show for me for years and you know the clients that I worked with for hundreds and hundreds of clients over the last, you know, my gosh, almost 18 years, my primary business, residential financing, has been over the last 18 years and plus. Anytime rates drop, anytime there's something going on in the market, I always like to get the information out as quickly as possible because it could be a significant savings for people, and especially the rates have dropped big time on jumbo financing, jumbo programs, and so I'm going to talk a little bit about that. And then buyers and sellers are on the move. This is the time of the year. It's really starting to heat up. All right, before we jump in, just a reminder, the show is brought to you by Bundle Select. Bundle Select is an online platform, so we partner with corporations and companies to offer their employees an online platform to bundle all their real estate services in one location. Simple 25% savings with a committed, dedicated concierge program. And we're excited about it. Just launched last year. We're having a lot of success and signed up a lot of companies. So if you're an employee listening to this and you would love to have a benefit like that, tell your HR about it. Go to bundleselect.com. Or if you're listening to this and you're in the HR or talent acquisition area, give us a call, check in, go to bundleselect.com and find out all the details of why companies are signing up in droves, and we're having a lot of success with that as well. All right, rates have really dropped here in the last couple of weeks, and most of you, if you follow the yield curve or the 10-year yield, a lot of it, I don't expect you to be experts, so that's what we try to do is provide you this information. So rates have really come down a lot in the last couple of weeks, and I have a feeling they may drop even a little bit more. If you look at a lot of the data that's coming out, we look at the yield spread curve here and what's happening in the marketplace. So just to give you some frame of reference, we go back about 5 or 6 months ago, especially jumbo rates are at least better by 0.5% in rate, 0.5% in rate or more. Now think about that. So 5 or 6 months ago, if you had a jumbo fixed and you got into it for 4.5 or 4 5/8, there's a chance right now that you get a jumbo fixed rate for less than 4%. That's right, less than 4%. Again, when I say this, it depends on your credit scores, your loan to value, and, you know, ability to qualify. I'm just giving you a frame of reference that You know, if you have a loan amount of $500,000, $600,000, $700,000, for some people they have a lot of loan amounts over $1 million, it's a significant savings. I mean, just two people today we locked in and saved them over $200 a month just today in the last couple of hours, to give you an idea, over $200 a month at no cost to do these refinances. So it doesn't matter. I'll just throw this kind of out as a point to start, let's say. So if you have an interest rate at 4.5 or higher, then you are likely a candidate to drop your interest rate and potentially at no cost and save yourself a lot of money, and even maybe change the program to a 15-year fixed or something like that. If you don't want to go back to a 30-year, then maybe look at a 20-year fixed, a 25-year fixed, a 15-year fixed. A lot of people don't know that we could really customize programs any way we can or any way we want. A lot of people don't know this because a lot of lenders and people in this business will just sell you the 30-year fixed or the 15-year fixed, and they're not knowledgeable enough to know that you have options. So if you're in a 30-year fixed, and let's say you refinanced 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago, and you say, Joe, I really don't want to go backwards, I don't want to start over 30 years, fine. We could do a 23-year fixed for you. We could do a 22-year fixed. We could do a 24-year fixed. A lot of people don't know that, but we could do that. So the whole idea of that is that you don't go backwards. So if you could imagine if you did this 4 or 5 years ago, and now we get into a 25, 26, 24-year fixed, or even a 20-year fixed, and then drop your interest rate at the same time, this could be a great, great benefit for a lot of people. So I want to make sure you don't miss the boat. Again, I'll throw it out there. If you yourself, you know anybody, family members, coworkers, relatives, if you have an interest rate at 4.5 or higher, I would look seriously to drop that interest rate. In some cases, you get low, less than 4%, depending. Jumbo interest rates have really actually came down more aggressively than conforming, believe it or not. So anyone with loan amounts around $600,000, $700,000 or more, you're going to get a big, big benefit, because rates have dropped even more in the jumbo market. And, of course, the higher your loan amount, the more you're going to save. So keep an eye on that. If I could help you with that, let me know. Check in. Those that listen to the show, you know where to reach me, reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com. During the week, I get a lot of emails, texts. Feel free to contact me if you have any questions about this. 408-838-9060. Rates have come down, and I want to make sure everybody could take advantage of it as much as they can. A savings of $100 a month, I always tell people, depending on if it makes sense. Now, you have to run these scenarios. I would encourage you to look at a no-cost or low-cost provision for loans right now, especially if you did this in the last couple of years. And there's a strategy behind that. I'm happy to talk to you about it. But there is an opportunity right now, and I remind clients on a regular basis, wouldn't you rather have this money back in your pocket, investing in or doing something else rather than giving it to the lender? And some people will say, Joe, I know, but I just did this 2, 3 years ago. And you're right. It could be that it makes no sense at all. I'm not saying that this makes sense for everybody. Please hear me right here. This does not make sense for everybody. And it may not make sense even if you have a rate of 4.5. But what I'm saying is, if you are taking a long-term approach on your property and you have an interest rate of 4.5% or more, there is a really good chance that you could stand the benefit by either doing a no-cost or low-cost refinance and drop your rate and secure a long-term rate if you're going to be in that property for a while. And by the way, this goes for primary residence, second homes, and vacation properties, rental properties, all those. They apply to every single one of them. So give me a call, check in if you have any questions about that. It's also a great time to look at different programs. The last thing I'll say about interest rates, now is a good time to maybe reduce the amount of years. I just mentioned earlier, if you were at a 30-year, 5, 6 years ago, maybe we look at a 20, we look at a 25, we look at a 15. We could do a lot of different things of that nature. So be sure to take advantage of that if it applies to you. All right, let's talk a little bit about buyers and sellers. They're on the move. So you may have seen an article I posted today, and I usually try to post a couple different articles on Facebook and social media each day about what's going on in the marketplace, what's happening. But this is the week. This is the big week. Between this week and next week, so right around the first part of April, historically is when the market really starts picking up. Typically, there's a lot of reasons for that. One, you know, spring arrives, it's around the corner, it's right here. Typically, the weather will be a little better, right? We've had a lot of rain lately, and thank goodness for that, but quite frankly, I'm tired of the rain. I wish we'd get some sunshine soon. So there's some factors behind this is the reason why, historically, you have a lot of activity right about this time of the year. And the reason I bring this up is that it's really a perfect storm right now in the marketplace. You've heard me talk about this before. The last 4 or 5 years, it's been a huge, tremendous benefit to the sellers for the most part because it's been a strong seller's market. That has changed somewhat lately, and now it's become back to down what I call a normal market. So it's a perfect storm to a certain extent right now, and the reason is that you just heard me talk about the interest rates dropping, right? So when the interest rates come down, and now we're getting into a strong, strong sellers and buyers market, or a good, steady market, this is a perfect storm. It really is. The reason why is now it's more beneficial to the buyers that are looking to buy a home, right? Cost of money's cheaper. And then, by the way, those people that are selling their home and they're going typically to buy another home, that benefits you as well. So keep this in mind. I'm not saying that if you don't have any intent to, that you run out and list your house and put it on the market next week. But I would say if you're thinking about putting your house on the market over the next couple of months, I would say if you can, strategically, and it makes sense for you and your family or whoever may be involved, I would get it on the market before or sooner than later. And I really would to have an advantage in a couple of different ways. Now, you never know what's going to happen 30 days or 60 days from now. But if I was a person considering putting my home on the market in the next 60 to 90 days, or I was a person contemplating buying in the next 60 to 90 days, I would accelerate that move. If it were me, looking at the data that I'm looking at, I would do it sooner than later. The reason why is you might be able to catch a little better timing on the interest rates, and you might be able to get in a little bit earlier and get your house on the market when there is still a little bit less inventory. I just have a feeling like in the next 60 to 90 days, we're going to have a fair amount of inventory. Inventory is still pretty good right now. It's still on the lower side, but it's more than it has been in years past. And I do think in the next 60 to 90 days, we're going to see a lot more inventory on the market. So that's good for buyers. And then what happens is it's more challenging for sellers because there's just more on the market. That's just supply and demand. So there's never, ever a perfect situation where you're going to time everything perfect. So please don't hear that. I hope you're not hearing that. I just like to offer suggestions and recommendations for people that are in that time period where they're thinking about either buying, selling, refinancing. And so I want to pass this along for the benefit of the consumers out there to see what you could do and do the best that you can. So buyers, let's start there. So great time, great, really good time right now. One of the reasons, too, is you might be able to have more buying power now. With the rates dropping, I'll give you an example. Let's say you were pre-approved for a purchase of $800,000 a couple months ago because the rates were higher. Guess what? You might be able to get approved for, say, $900,000 or $1 million now because rates have come down, and depending on the program, that could give you more purchasing power. So this is one of the benefits of being a buyer in a low interest rate market environment. So if you are considering or contemplating buying, now is a great time to get out there. And now's a great time to be pre-approved. You've heard me talk about before, buyers, make sure you're working with someone you trust, making sure you're working with someone that could close on time, making sure you're working with someone that could work with the real estate market and the real estate professionals. I know that sounds funny, but there are a lot of lenders that are online lenders. Traditionally, they don't have any human interaction. So they're online, which is fine, not a big deal there. But keep in mind, they don't have any background or history in working as a team with a real estate agent and others when closing a purchase transaction. I know it sounds a little bit different, but it could be an issue. If you're working with an online lender, and let's say they're in St. Louis, and they don't have the first clue or idea about California, and there's no one to pick up the phone and talk to on weekends because they're not available on weekends, or they work a swing shift maybe, this person on the call center, and you can't reach them in the morning or vice versa, you can't reach them in the evening. These are things all to keep an eye on when you're getting pre-approved. In a purchase market, you really, really want to work, in my opinion, you want to work with someone that's more localized. You want to work with someone that understands the market a little bit and has some relationships with real estate agents and lenders, and they understand. This is a very unique market. It really is. You hear people talk about that all the time, but I've been here my entire life, and it is. It's true. Every market is unique to a certain extent. Don't get me wrong. But when you're in a localized market like this, and the costs are so high, and the prices are so high, and there's a lot of challenges with that, you know, there's a lot that goes into it. So I would just say that make sure you're working with someone you trust, buyers, on the lending side. Make sure you're pre-approved and underwritten approved. You've heard me talk about this before. Don't make the mistake and start looking for a home with a real estate agent and then find out that you were just pre-qualified or maybe you weren't pre-approved. There's two big differences. Make sure when you talk to your lender, make sure you're pre-approved. And if they say yes, no problem, you're pre-approved. Not that I don't trust them, but I've seen this happen before. Believe me, people come to me and they say, Joe, they told me that I was pre-approved. And a lot of people use that terminology and they don't know what it means. Oh, yeah, I looked at your pay stubs. And, oh, yeah, I took a look at your credit report. No, there's more than that. There's a lot to that. So be very specific. Ask your lender, am I pre-approved? If he or she says yes, say, talk to me a little bit more of that. Explain to me exactly what that means. And what they should be able to say is something like this. They should be able to say, listen, Mr. or Mrs. Smith, this is what we've done. You provided us with your tax returns, your W-2s, your income, your assets. And what we've done is we've taken a look at it, and our underwriter's taken a look at it. And based on what we see with your credit scores, you've been a pre-approved for $1 million purchase with 20% down. That's the response you want to hear, something like that. Then you know that they've received everything they received. They did what they were supposed to do. And now you're approved. That would be a good answer. The answer you don't want to hear is something like this. Listen, have I been pre-approved? Oh, yeah, don't worry. You've been pre-approved. Do a little role-playing here. And then I'm the lender, and I come back, and you ask me as a consumer. You say, Joe, what does that mean that I'm pre-approved? Tell me exactly what that means. And I say, oh, don't worry about it. You know, you told me your credit scores were 720s, and I did take a look at that pay stub, and it looks like you make pretty good money, so I wouldn't worry about that. And you told me that your down payment was coming from your aunt or your grandparents, so don't worry about that. Those are gift funds. We're good. That's not the kind of answer you want. I'm telling you, if you get feedback like that, then just stop. That's the red flag. Stop and be sure to understand that that's not a formal pre-approval. That just means that someone maybe reviewed information and looked at it, but they don't really know. So try to encourage people to get started and do it right. Okay, get started and do it right. It's the best way to do it. If you are self-employed, if you get some kind of commission or bonuses, in other words, if your pay is a bit complicated, you will need to show your tax returns typically. If you have jumbo financing, you will almost always need to show your tax returns. If you have conforming loan amounts, you know, in the 600 range or less, and you're W-2 income earner and it's not too complicated, then there's a strong likelihood that you'll just have to show your W-2s and some income and asset information. So you should be good there. But there's some differences. It's very complicated still. As much as we all love to use technology, and believe me, I'm a big fan of technology, and I believe in moving forward and advancing and improving systems, processes, and all that. I'm a big believer in it. But there is still something to having a certain amount of knowledge in a complicated transaction. And real estate is still a somewhat complicated transaction. It just is. It really is. One of these days I'll do a story about the difference between the dinosaurs and the robots, but I don't have time for that today, so I'll talk about that at another time. So, buyers, just to kind of summarize before I jump on the seller side a little bit, be sure you're pre-approved. Be sure you're working with a real estate agent that you trust, someone that understands this market, and someone that does it full-time and treats it like a business. You've heard me say this before. You've heard a lot of real estate agents that I've had on the show. Partners of mine are people that work in this industry that take this very serious. I can't encourage you enough to work with someone that treats this like a business. It's too risky. It's too expensive of a venture to hire someone or, you know, say my niece or my aunt or my sister or my brother, you know, they do real estate on the side. I think they'll just help me out. Just be careful of that. I'm not saying they're nice people or they're not nice people or they don't try hard or they don't work hard. That's not what I'm saying. when you're about to endeavor into a transaction that you could be spending $1 million+, it is a serious transaction. It's not like getting a cell phone, buying a laptop, right? These things are different. Even though there's a great use of technology and some things are evolving and making it better and easier for people to do these transactions and making it quicker and smoother, it is still an involved transaction. And because it's so involved, make sure you're working with the right people. All right, so on the seller side, we covered the buyers. Sellers, still a really good market. So the difference that I would say right now, if I had to take a snapshot of the market right now as a seller versus a year or so ago when no matter what you put on the market, it was being snapped up with multiple offers. If you have a property that's in a desirable area, in a strong zip code with schools, areas, downtown area, I mean, if it's in a desirable area historically, that home, if it's priced right, is still going to get multiple offers most likely and going to sell pretty quickly. The difference today than a year or so ago, in my opinion, is that if you have a home, it's in a less desirable area. It doesn't mean it's not nice, but maybe the school districts aren't as good, and maybe it's further from town, and maybe it's in a location that is, quote-unquote, less expensive or less desirable in the eyes of most of the consumers. That home might not only sit on the market a little bit longer, but that home might sell for 10, 15, 20% less. I know it's hard to realize, but when you have homes being inflated, when you have a rise in the temperature of what's been going on lately, and you've had this big run-up in appreciation and value and what people are paying for properties, and when everything's on the market going crazy, and I saw this happen in 08, 09, 10, etc. I'll give you an example. There was homes in Stockton. This is an example, right? There was homes in Stockton that were selling for $600,000, $700,000, $800,000. Back in, you know, 2006, 2007, right before the crash, right? In many cases, ladies and gentlemen, those homes will never, ever, ever be back to $600,000, $700,000, $800,000. That's the difference. And I don't mean to pick on Stockton. I'm just giving you an example. There's nothing right or wrong about this. It's just understanding market dynamics and then the desirability of certain markets and then jobs that are surrounding those markets. So to give you an idea, if you're in the heart of Silicon Valley, let's say you were in Saratoga, Los Gatos, Willow Glen, Los Altos, any, let's just pick any of those desirable areas, okay? And you had a home in 2007, the market peaked, and that home was worth $1.5 million in the peak, okay? And then it took a dip, and let's say it came all the way down. At one point, it was worth $1 million or maybe $1.1 million. Guess what? I would bet you that home right now, if we were using comparing apples to apples, that home in the peak that was $1.5 million, might now be 1.6, 1.7 or more. So that's the difference. That's what I'm trying to say, is that if you're a seller, understand your markets, understand where you are, understand the desirability in the different areas, and it has a lot to do with schools, jobs, and a number of different other aspects. A lot of people like to be close to town, so if you have a home that's, you know, within a few blocks of a town like Los Gatos or Willow Glen or Saratoga or Los Altos or, you know, places like that, that's going to be a more desirable place. It just is. Versus maybe the Blossom Hill area and Santa Teresa area and things like that, for those that are familiar with this area. So, not a right or wrong. It's just better trying to understand the dynamics of the marketplace. So, as a seller, understand this, and I'll go back to what I said earlier. It doesn't matter if you're a buyer or a seller. Make sure you're working with the right agent. And the right agent's going to tell you all the stuff that I'm telling you and even more because they're on this because it's their business and they treat it like a business. So be sure that you get that pricing as accurate as you can before you put it on the market, because once you put the house on the market as a seller, you really throw yourself out there and you subject yourself to either good, bad, or indifferent. And what I mean by that is, if you're a person that says, if the real estate agent does all the research and the studies and the comps, and they come back and they say, listen, Joe, if I were you, I'd put this house on the market for just under $1 million, $995,000. I think it's a perfect thing. And I say, you know what? I'm not comfortable with that. My neighbor just told me that their house was worth 1.1, and my other neighbor told me that they thought they could get 1.2. And, you know, I want to try to get as much as I can, and I want to put it on for 1.1. Again, that's your opinion, but did you do some research? Did you do some study? Are you going to trust the real estate agent that treats it like a business, that understands the market, and is going to give you great guidance. I'm not saying they're perfect or they're right. What I'm saying is trust and verify. So have them explain to you why they want to put it on the market for $9.95. I'm not saying just take their word for it. Have them lay out their market analysis and all the research and the data and the comps, and the good agents will be able to cover that with you and go over it in detail and articulate exactly why that home should be listed for $9.95. The good ones will do that. And I would say follow their instructions for the good ones, because they want what's best for your home and they want what's best for you, but they also don't want a situation where your home sits on the market for a long period of time, so you have to keep lowering the price. And that's the part where it becomes problematic. And that's why I say be very careful who you list your house with and how you list it. The market has changed. If you're still a person of the mindset that thinks I could throw my house on the market and I'm going to get whatever I want for it, you're mistaken. I'm not going to say it's not going to happen. What I'm saying is it's be careful with that thought process right now, because we're not where we were a year or so ago where that was the case. If you are, again, you have a property that's in a desirable area, I'll almost guarantee you that if you price it right, the house is going to go and you might even get a little bit more. I don't know. No one really could tell you that. But I would say that if it's a desirable area and it's priced right, your home's going to move. It just is. If it doesn't, it's just really because it's not priced right, or maybe it's just there's a different stable of potential consumers that are looking at certain pockets or areas that might be more interested or less interested in different areas. It's just the way it is. And that's why I keep saying the more desirable areas. It's not a right or wrong or one area is better than the other. It just, in the eyes of consumers, when we're all house shopping, we're looking for specific things in specific areas in some cases. And for some people that don't have a budget or have a more flexible budget, they could afford those. Some people don't have any choice. If their max purchase is $900,000, that's it. They buy it wherever that house is. They may not have a choice of a more desirable area. They may have to start in a certain category. So those things happen, and they happen, and they're real on a regular basis. So to kind of summarize, sellers, I'll do the same thing. Let me go through the checklist real quick. Make sure first you're working with the right real estate agent. What does that mean? If you have a relationship with one in the past that's done a great job and you trust them, you like them, continue that course. If you're unsure or if you didn't have a good experience last time, then check with referrals. Check with coworkers, family members. I have some great real estate agents I'd be happy to recommend and refer. Outstanding. All throughout the entire greater Bay Area and beyond. So make sure that, number one. Number two, make sure the pricing we just talked about, make sure the pricing is right. Do a really good job of getting your house on the market priced right, because what you don't want to do is you really don't. I know it creates this philosophy, and unfortunately it's a downward spiral. If you list your home too high and then it sits and then you drop the price and then you drop the price, what happens, unfortunately, it's really a psyche thing. It's a psychological dynamic that takes place in the buyer's or potential buyer's mind and the market's mind. I'm not saying it's right, but it just is the way it works. The price drops, and people will first think, well, maybe they priced it too high to begin with, and maybe they're desperate, and maybe they're going to drop the price again. So that's the mindset. See, when the house goes on the market and it's priced right, then you're going to create less tension and kind of skepticism, if you will, over the general public that are looking at homes. If you price it too high, they're going to wonder about that. If you drop the price, they're going to wonder about that. If it drops again, they're going to wonder about that. Is there something wrong with the house? If there's something they're not disclosing, in other words, it may be none of that. It could be just you just want to try to sell it for more. And that's, hey, Joe, I'm going to try to sell it for more. Okay, well, that could be your answer. What I'm saying, though, is be careful of that strategy, because that sometimes could backfire and you could potentially end up getting less for your home than if you would have put it on the market in the right price range. It just happens. So be careful with that for sure. Now, the other thing for sellers I want to be sure I mentioned before we duck out today is this program. I've talked about it before. I can't say enough about it. I'm really excited. I do a bunch of them now. It represents 40% of my business, and that is cross-collateralization programs. So sellers, If you're concerned about not being able to sell your home or wanting to buy a home before you sell your home, look at a cross-collateralized program. Look at a cross-collateral program. I could help you with that. People that understand those could help you with these programs. Sellers, if you're apprehensive about putting your house on the market because you don't really, you're not sure, and let's say you, this comes up a lot, you tell your real estate agent, listen, I want to list my house, but I'm concerned. I don't want it sitting there, and then what if I find a house that I really like, and then I can't put an offer in? I just don't want to go through that stress. Again, find someone, I'm happy to help you, find someone that understands other options of buy before you sell. We could help you buy before you sell. Even if you think you can't afford it, you'd be surprised what kind of programs will allow you to support the equity in your exiting property that we could leverage and make that happen for you. Now, this is not for everyone. What I'm saying is, if you're one of these people that have some leverage and you have a lot of equity in your property that you're looking to sell, you would be surprised at the things that you could do that most people don't know. They don't educate you on this. The options that you have to go buy a home before you sell your home. I do it all the time. It's amazing how many people now are taking advantage of this program. It's a great, great feeling for the people that go, when they understand it, and they see it, they go, you're kidding me. I could do this. I could actually go purchase that home with no contingencies, and then I could sell my home when I want to, A or B. I don't have to stress about my home being on the market. If it sells in 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, I'm still good. Yeah, you can. And a lot of people could do that. And a lot of people don't know that you can do that. Automatically, when someone's not educated on a program like this, what happens is invariably they'll ask an agent about cross-collateral. Or they'll ask a lender, right? And because either one of them don't know or they're not educated on them, they'll say, ah, no, you don't want to do that. It's too complicated. I hate those answers, by the way. Don't you dislike answers right away when people don't even put any thought into it? It's always skeptical. I'm always skeptical when you ask a question and within a millisecond, someone says, no, you can't do that. No, you can't do that. That's a red flag for me. Because number one, you probably weren't listening. And number two, you didn't ponder your thought or didn't think a little bit about, well, gee, you know what, Joe? I think I have heard about a program like that. Let me do some homework and let me see what I could find out for you. That's the answer you want. You don't want a fast answer that says, no, you can't do that, or you don't want to bother with that. I'm telling you, a lot of people are lazy. They don't educate themselves in this market, in this business. And I'm talking about on the lender and real estate side. These programs are available. You would be surprised of what's available to help you navigate some strategic and interesting options on having the ability to buy before you sell and having that flexibility. Again, it's not for everyone, but there's programs out there. I would encourage you, if it applies to you, if you think you might be interested, give me a call. I'm happy to talk you through it. Even if you're working with someone else, I'm happy to talk you through it. If I could help you, educate you, and get you in a better situation, I'm happy to do that. So that is the last thing really for sellers I want to say. There's great programs out there. Some of you may be selling and not buying. Maybe you're just cashing out and moving out of the country or the state or whatever, and that's fine. And that's good too. But this would be for someone that is really looking to sell their home and have the ability to buy at the same time. All right? All right, we're going to wrap things up. I want to thank those again for tuning in today. Thank you for those that are tuning in, watching us on the live feed on Facebook. That continues to grow. I appreciate that very, very much. For more information, you could always go to reradiolive.com. Remember to download the podcast. You can find that anywhere, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Plus, any of those locations. This is Joe Cuchero with Real Estate Radio Live. Thank you again for tuning in this afternoon. Have a great day. Take care.
You've been listening to Real Estate Radio Live. For more information on today's program, visit reradiolive.com. That's reradiolive.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Discover more at reradiolive.com.